It's here, the episode you've all been waiting for. This episode was the result of a Threadzilla debate on Twitter regarding the naming of AzureStack HCI. Jeff Woolsey, Principal Program Manager for AzureStack HCI, was looped into that Threadzilla and kindly agreed to come on the podcast to discuss the topic in more detail. We also discussed Azure Arc, Windows Admin Center, and the Azure portal, and the use cases for each. And we go into a bit more depth on AzureStack HCI use cases. We get some cheeky glimpses of what is to come for the future of AzureStack HCI. I really enjoyed recording this podcast, and I hope we can have Jeff back on when he can talk a little bit more about some future announcements. Enjoy. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Lisa at the Edge podcast. Today, we have a very, very special guest. We are joined by Jeff Woolsey. Is that how you say your name, Jeff?
It is. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Okay, excellent. Jeff is the Principal Program Manager at Microsoft for AzureStack HCI, Windows Server, all things hybrid cloud. And we're also joined by Kenny Lowe, Azure MVP, and Senior Engineering Technologist at Dell Technologies. Welcome, everybody. How are we all doing?
Doing very well from my home office.
And I am also fabulous from my home office.
Excellent. okay, right. Today, a few of the things that I would like to talk about with you, Jeff, first and foremost, we are going to have to discuss the AzureStack HCI naming, the thoughts behind it, how we got there. You know, this is basically what kicked off the massive Threadzilla on Twitter, which led you to my podcast. So if we did not address that, then the people would be in uproar. So There's a lot of talk out there. It's just marketing. No, it's now a portfolio, etc. So we will address that, right? But a few of the other things I wanted to talk about is with bringing AzureStack HCI into the fold, we've got Windows Admin Center, we've got Azure Arc, we've got Azure Portal, we've got these different tools for administration. So I'd like to spend some time just getting in deep on those and differentiating between them. And then also talk in depth about AzureStack HCI and the use cases there. So that's the rough topics for today, but we can see where they take us.
Okay, that sounds great.
Awesome. So I think before we get stuck into the naming convention, let's take ourselves back potentially to a happier time. Let's go back to 2016, the launch of Windows Server 2016, which laid the foundation for where we are today. It was, you know, the big upgrades. We got storage spaces, software-defined networking, guarded fabric. It's where me and Kenny found our love for Windows Server, Microsoft Hybrid Cloud, and everything. It's basically, that was the beginning of our journey to this podcast today. So let's start there. So what I'd really like to know was, when Windows Server 2016 launched, did you know that this is where you were heading? Was that all part of the master plan?
Well, it's interesting. You talk about plan and some of the things that we've been putting into place. Certainly 2016 was the culmination of a lot of pieces that were put into place. I could actually go back further in time and even show you where we were thinking about some of these pieces even further. One perfect example of that has been our investment in RDMA. We talk about it a lot with 2016, and now with 2019, it's in AzureStack HCI. It's just a critical part of the fabric. But it's something we invested a long time ago because we knew how critically important it was going to be. And it was something we saw early on with Azure. developing our own data centers and how we were building solutions, and we realized that RDMA was a critical component. And we saw that as we were building software-defined networking and software-defined storage, that that was a critical component there. If you look at Windows Server 2016, yeah, that was the culmination of, you know, software-defined storage. That was a really huge brand new capability in 2016. SDN capabilities took a huge leap. Yeah. And when we put all of these together with our software-defined compute, it created this really, really fantastic solution. 2019, we took that even a step further with more things and more capabilities, whether it was management, whether it was security, whether it was storage capabilities like deduplication and stuff like that, married with REFS. But you can certainly say that 2016 was a huge release. And when I look at customers right now and I talk about them and I look at them and I talk about and they tell me about how they're modernizing, pretty much most people are taking the jump right to 2019, but most everyone says it's going to be at least 2016.
Yeah.
Most are actually just taking the jump to 2019, but everyone's saying, yeah, it's going to be at least 2016 if they're going to deploy new OSs or upgrade them.
Yeah, absolutely. Myself and Kenny will remember when things like Guardian Fabric and the Shielded VMs came out. We worked at a managed service provider at the time, and we thought this was really awesome. We thought that
and it still is really awesome.
Yeah, very much so. We thought that answered a lot of questions for MSPs.
And you know what? I mean, we work in Azure Stack Hub and Azure Stack HCI space now, and a lot of the features of the guarded fabric there are just inherent in Azure Stack Hub. They're just there to provide a load of security in there now by default, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I have to say with shielded VMs and guarded fabric, we thought the scenario through really at a very extreme depth. You know, a lot of folks were like, hey, I just want to protect my VM if it walks out the door. But we were also like, well, that's one scenario. But what's the other scenario, which is protecting against a malicious admin? Mm-hmm. That's something that may not be a widely considered scenario, but we actually talk with customers where like, no, this is a super important scenario. And there were actually many high profile cases. We had one here many years ago where an admin in San Francisco, basically disgruntled employee basically said, he basically held the city hostage. He had the keys to the kingdom and wouldn't give them up. And it was it takes a few high profile cases like that where people realize, wait a minute, one admin can cause a huge amount of damage to my organization. And so with shielded VMs, we actually went the further step to say, yeah, we'll even protect you against a rogue admin. So shielded VMs were a perfect example of that. And holistic security is key.
Yep. And if it's sometimes difficult to talk to admins about malicious admins because you're talking to them about them potentially being malicious, and we can also talk about rogue administrator credentials, because even if they're not malicious, there's the potential for their credentials to be compromised and someone else to do something malicious with them. So it protects against that.
Yeah.
Well, and that goes to the work that we've done in virtualization-based security for many releases now. Things like, you know, Credential Guard, remote. If someone gets admin credentials, you know, they don't need to hack your system. They are literally in your system and they can do whatever they want. And so we've really raised the stakes when it comes to security with Credential Guard and remote Credential Guard. And we have seen customers, I'll be honest with you, I ran into some very, I can't say who they are, some very big customers that I'm sure you know of, when 2016 came out that said, we are in the process of updating every single server to 2016 just for Credential Guard and remote Credential Guard. For that feature alone, it is worth it. And so, you know, we know it. And of course, it's something now that everybody takes advantage of. It's in your laptop, it's in your PC, and it's ubiquitous. So I love to see that type of technology where everybody gets it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's just dive right in to Azure Stack HCI naming. So
I know you can't wait to get to this, Lisa.
The thing is, right, is that I'm now there, but I understand the people who are not, because when this was first launched, I think people were still really trying to understand what Azure Stack was. Yeah, I was having conversations every time I spoke about Azure Stack about what it was and what it meant, because it was, you know, it was brand new thinking at the time. And when people are still really trying to understand Azure, or, you know, cloud native to then just have to describe that, yep, and then that's now in your data center on as little as a 4-node infrastructure was just mind-blowing. So at the time when I heard that Azure Stack HCI was coming along, I was like, oh, please no, we're not ready. People are not on board yet with what Azure Stack is. This is going to confuse everyone. I don't like marketing that confuses customers. It's one of my bugbears. I was there where people are now. And there is a good few points being made around the fact that, you know, HCI, well, Azure Stack Hub is based on HCI, and, you know, is that the right sort of terminology? But no one can come up with anything better. So people have said it's just marketing so that Windows Server can get attention. You know, there are people out there who understand Azure Stack is now being rebranded to Azure Stack Hub. It's become a portfolio of products. It's the whole hybrid portfolio and edge portfolio. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. What was the decision? At what point did you guys make that decision? And was there any interest in discussions internally around that, changing that name?
Oh yeah, certainly. So first of all, let's take a step back and talk about Azure Stack for just a second. So one of the most important things about Azure Stack is Azure Stack is all about hybrid. That is the most critical thing. And in fact, if you go back to, you know, man, go back to talks I gave maybe even 7-8 years ago, we've been talking about hybrid for a very, very long time. It's in our DNA.
Yeah.
And so Azure Stack has always been about making sure, look, we understand that customers, for whatever reason, are going to need to run things on premises. Certainly, people are moving stuff into Azure. They're taking advantage of the fact that, hey, you know what? Why do I need to run an Exchange server when I can just run that in Office 365? Why do I need to run on-prem when SharePoint when I can just run it in the cloud and Microsoft will handle it for me, give me global scale and redundancy and all of those things? But there are some apps that, guess what? You know what? They were written 10 years ago. They're not ready for the cloud. They need to stay on premises for governance reasons, for data sovereignty reasons. And so, you know, I'm not going to argue. So Lisa and Kenny, when you go talk to a customer, the customer's always right, right?
Yeah. Well.
Okay. If a customer says, if a customer says, I have some stuff that's going to go in the cloud, great, but I've got some stuff that's going to stay on-prem for the foreseeable future,
yeah,
we've got to make sure that, great, let's give you the right solution. And when Azure Stack itself, before it was called Hub, when mm-hmm. Azure Stack came out as the first product in the portfolio, you know, a lot of people went, whoa, this is truly an extension of Azure. You can write to the Azure Resource Manager. You can write to it so that I can deploy apps in Azure Stack Hub and deploy them in Azure, and they just work the same. And people's minds were blown. They were like, oh my gosh, that's fantastic. Then there were some people that said, that's great, but you know what? I don't need that. I need something different. I need something really small. I need something just sitting, helping me with machine learning or some AI. And it doesn't need to be a rack of servers or even a half rack, just a single server or two. And so the Edge product totally fits that, where I need that one thing. But right in the middle was this thing where people said, you know what? I want to go to the hub. I want to go to where I'm writing apps in that modern world. I'm just not there yet. I'm just not ready to make that leap. I've got a bunch of things that are traditional apps that are going to run in VMs, but at the same time, I would like to take advantage of the cloud. Mm. And that's where HCI fit. And you're totally right. Hub absolutely uses all of the HCI underpinnings. Okay. It's using Storage Spaces Direct. It's using SDN. It's using Hyper-V. All of those things are being used under the covers. But Hub is targeted really for a different set of users in a different space, whereas HCI, we can scale all the way down to 2 servers. And I know that's something that, you know, our customers, both Dell and Microsoft customers, have been very excited about the fact that, hey, you know what? I've got like 100 stores. In 100 stores, I need an on-premises thing because I need to run my cash register and I need to run a bunch of things that run specifically there. And maybe my networking is kind of dodgy up to the cloud. And if something happens, I just still need to be able to run credit cards and stuff like that. And so an HCI node, a two-node HCI, all of a sudden is, wow, you're getting HA, you're getting the traditional apps you want, and you can run it at a small scale. And then, of course, in terms of Azure connectivity, wow, we've actually put a whole bunch of capabilities in Stack HCI, whether it's Azure Backup, or Azure File Sync, and stuff like that, to really give it this really hybrid set of scenarios that you can run. That said, we're not done. There's more coming. And I know we kind of live in this weird time where we're all at home. I'm talking to you from my home office, but I can tell you right now, we are hard at work on the next release after that, the next release after that. We've got a very long roadmap for what we're doing in Azure Stack HCI. And it's really about making sure we have a family set of products because we know one size solutions don't work. And so that's why the whole family came about. And HCI, it's pretty much, it in terms of the name, I promise it wasn't a marketing only name. It's part of it. First of all, it's the hybrid is built in. It was, it's always first and foremost. And every product in the Azure Stack family has varying levels of hybrid. And in fact, you're going to see only more added, especially to Stack HCI. Stack Edge is completely run from Azure. So it's this Edge single device you install and you manage completely from the cloud. Stack Hub is truly Azure Stack, uses the same portal and everything can be run disconnected with Azure services. Stack HCI uses Admin Center and has connectivity into the Azure portal and links into the portal as well. I know we're going to talk more about management in a second, but it's really about providing this continuum of products and making sure that we can provide exactly what the customer needs. Because not every customer needs a hub and not every customer needs an edge and not every customer needs an HCI, but wherever they fit, we want to make sure we give them the right solution.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, If you didn't do that with HCI, there would be this sort of gulf of heritage applications that, you know, a customer wants to go all in with Azure, and that probably will always mean some form of Azure hybrid. But if they had all these workloads, you know, sitting on premises and they were getting bought into Azure and they start to see all the goodness of Azure policy and Azure monitoring, et cetera, and the new things they can do around governance, et cetera, the fact that they can now apply that to Azure Stack HCI is amazing. I think if that didn't happen, there would be a sort of gulf. And that would be a shame because customers have investments and, you know, on-prem, and they can't, like you say, they can't move everything. Kenny, what were you going to
say? I was going to say that that when the WSSD program was renamed to Azure Stack HCI or evolved to Azure Stack HCI, I was one of those dissenting voices. You said, oh no, this is terrible, hands in the air. This is going to take away focus from Azure Stack Hub. It's going to generate confusion for customers. What are Microsoft thinking? Now, over time, I have come around and I am now one of the proponents of this. I think it's absolutely a much better thing to have a family of products here that you can talk about together, not separate things being done by separate people under different banners. That brings a lot more clarity, I think, actually having it under the same family there. But if I can play devil's advocate or maybe be the voice of the dissenting community, some of the folks in the thread that started this, Ed Baker and some others, I think that the point that Ed was making was that for a long time, when Azure Stack, now Azure Stack Hub, was first announced, we were told, and the marketing was very much, that Azure Stack is true hybrid. When you bring Azure services on premises, this is what true hybrid is. It's when you're not just connected, but you're consistent. And when you're consistent, that's true hybrid there. That messaging has evolved a lot since then, we know that. But for folks that really bought into that messaging, there's some worry, I think, that bringing Azure Stack HCI into here sort of dilutes some of that true hybrid messaging there. I think that may be where some folks are coming from.
Let me stop you right there, Kenny. I think that's a fantastic point. And let me kind of address some of that. So you're right. With Hub, and again, this is part of the beauty of Hub, is when your developer is writing an application, if you write to the Azure Resource Model, I can target a Hub or I can target Azure, and it just works. And that is magical. Trust me, I love that. And that consistency is to me the key value prop of Hub. But there were plenty of folks that said, that is really, really awesome. And for some class of apps, that would be great. For a bunch of these things in my data center, that is exactly where I need to be. For some of my other smaller sites or for different scenarios, being able to run traditional apps is great. At the same time, as I can't make any announcements today, we are going to be bringing more cloud to Azure Stack HCI. Okay? I think it would be kind of foolhardy to believe that we are done with Azure Stack HCI. We are just beginning the journey with Azure Stack HCI. And so let me just say that we will be bringing more consistency to Stack HCI. That's as much as I can say today.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Okay.
And actually, the other thing that I wanted to touch on that you mentioned there was the beauty of the two-node solutions, because these two-node Azure Stack HCI solutions, these back-to-back connected switchless configurations, I think have so many potential use cases that I don't think are being exploited or used that much just now. So one thing that I wanted to quickly talk about was using it as an Azure IoT Edge endpoint. And we have these Azure IoT Edge certified solutions for two-node Azure Stack HCI. And just wanted to get your thoughts on when you'd be best off using that versus using an Azure Stack Edge device to run Azure IoT Edge. Because you can do very, very similar things there with a different management experience, different cost model, things like that. But potentially, I would say better resiliency with the Azure Stack HCI one, potentially cheaper with the Azure Stack HCI one, able to do more today with the Azure Stack HCI one. What would you do to compare and contrast these two, which can do very similar things?
Yeah, there are some key similarities, but there are some key differences. So the Stack Edge product, let's be very clear, this thing can only be managed from Azure. So, you know, for folks that are embracing that and are totally fine with that, and if they only need one system and they need to deploy this in lots of different places and they need specifically the fact that there's some hardware acceleration with that system, then party on. For folks that say, you know what, I need HA, I need a little bit more resiliency, I need a little bit bigger node, and I cannot 100% rely on Azure to be the management plane, I need to be able to do some local management, then that's probably the reason to go with Stack HCI. And that management flexibility is also something that should be considered with the Azure Stack family. Because again, Stack Edge is, you only manage it, you manage it completely from the cloud, from Azure. And there, again, if you're fine with that, if you're on board, if you're already doing that, then maybe it fits like a glove, and there are some people it does. If folks say, I'm not ready to do that, or I cannot, you know, for my environment, the networking just isn't there, or my requirements require a disconnected solution, then Stack HCI is definitely the way to go.
Okay, good. Cool.
That makes sense. Yeah.
That's a nice differentiator, because I think that we can definitely see that there's more to come to Azure Stack HCI and there's more to come to the family as a whole. But in my head there, I was kind of beginning to think, okay, so Azure Stack Hub is like consistent hybrid. Azure Stack HCI is hybrid. And Azure Stack Edge is maybe hybrid edge. And I was beginning to sort of carve them up in my head there. But if more consistency is going to come to HCI, then it will, well, I don't know what consistency that is right now, but if more consistency is going to come to HCI, then I think what's going to be even more important is to have those clarifications between the different products. I think at the end of the day, it won't be too much of an issue, because actually what it does is just provides, like you say, that continuum of products that can suit the customer's use case wherever they are in their journey, or whatever stage each part of their infrastructure is at in their hybrid journey. But I can potentially foresee in the future that becoming difficult to differentiate, and therefore difficult to have those conversations with customers to help them figure out which is best. So there, with between Edge and HCI, you said it's very much a management, really, the differentiation there, in terms of whether you want to manage it through Azure portal, or you want to manage it yourself. So how, I don't know how to ask this question, because obviously you can't announce anything on this podcast, but how will you continue to differentiate between the products if they become more and more consistent with Azure?
That's unfortunately not something I can really get into today. But I'll be happy to come back at a later time to discuss this further. But I think two things. Number one, it keeps coming back to the customer and what they're trying to achieve, and making sure that we really do have a continuum from the very, very small to the very, very large in your data center and everything in the middle. And to me, I when I sit down with a customer, I actually want to say, before we even, let's not talk about any, where are you going?
Yeah.
What is it the problem you're trying to solve? And let's talk about where you are today, but first of all, where do you want to be in 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay. And when I start off with that question, you can usually see them go, whoa, wait a minute, we hadn't really thought about it. I'm like, well, that's where you kind of need to start thinking about. Like, in 5 years, is your plan to, you know, I keep asking this question on Twitter. I ask this regularly, and it's a question I've been asking for many years. I've been doing a running poll on this. It's a real simple question, which is, what is your organization's cloud strategy? Is it A, all public cloud? Is it B, all private cloud? Or is it C, hybrid? Mm-hmm. Okay. And for years, I've been asking this question. And there is one thing that has happened consistently. Public and private were always two very small niches. Hybrid was always the big one. But what has happened is public and private have gotten even smaller, and most of them have all moved in. Hybrid now is 95% of the people I talk to, I think it's 94 point something, percentage of people I've polled in the last many years have all gone hybrid. Yeah. The people that are all public is, you know, it's basically small companies that started in the cloud, and that's how they run their organization now. All private is virtually gone. I just don't even run into that anymore. And so we understand that customers are in that hybrid. Great. So where do you need to be from a hybrid perspective? And hybrid isn't a binary choice. It isn't, you know, it's a continuum of how much it's going to be in the cloud and how much it's going to be on premises.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting because it must be hard for customers to answer where they want to be in 5 years, because things are changing so fast. But you definitely need to sit down and have a think about it. Like, if we go back to discussing 2016 and even before then, and how that's all nicely coming together now in the Azure Stack portfolio, you know, that's over the course of a good few years. So you do actually need to put the time in to thinking about what are you trying to achieve and what are the timelines. And you can always map that back to technology, right? Because the capability is there in one form or another. It's just about what's the right form for you and your team at that time, taking into account your current investments, etc. So, yeah, it's definitely, you have to get, on the last podcast, actually, we were discussing just that now more than ever, you have to get in with your customer and, like, you know, talk to me about your problems. And it's not just I need to save money and I need to tweak how much I'm spending here, there, or that. It's that, you know, on the factory floor, I'm having this major problem that I cannot solve. Is there technology out there that can do it? And then you work backwards, right? And you figure out what can we use and what's right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I want to migrate.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I want to migrate my monolith to Kubernetes is not a strategy.
Bingo. Yeah, exactly right. The answer to everything right now is Kubernetes, and I'm like, well, okay, let's take a step back. But what's interesting is, but it's kind of a symptom of where everyone's head is at right now. If you look, if you look at what company. Right now, obviously, COVID has changed the way everyone is working right now. We're working from home, we're working from remote, and because of that, IT around the world has had to radically shift. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's working on making sure that everyone can remotely work. And, you know, before COVID, everybody had their VPNs and they knew how to work, manage remotely, but that was maybe for a small population of an organization. You know, maybe 10% of the guys on the road or folks that need to VPN, whatever. now it's like 100% of the office needs to do that. And so everyone's making sure their remote is set up. And the good news is, you know, it seems like people have been pretty well prepared for it, and everyone has is working on that and making that move. And if not, they're in that process. But before this whole COVID, if you would have told me what is everybody focused on, it's really one thing, which was app modernization. You know, people are looking at, okay, if I'm, you know, if I'm a manufacturer, I'm a retailer, whatever my organization is, I have core apps that make, you know, that are critical to my organization. And people look at those apps and go, how can I modernize those to help provide better services and better products for my end user? And if you look at what that app modernization has looked like, people are going through that process of, okay, well, first of all, can it go to the cloud? If it can go to the cloud, great. Why don't we put it in the cloud? If it can't go to the cloud for whatever reason, great. If it's going to stay on premises, then you know what? I probably shouldn't be running this on that 10-year-old server I have sitting over in the corner, that 10-year-old solution I have. And so what we're seeing is people are trying, as they go through their app modernization, they're figuring out what goes to the cloud, what stays on premises. And then as they rationalize that and they realize that, they look at what they have on premises, okay, so now that I've figured out what's going on in cloud, what's staying here, I need to upgrade what I have here because my on-premises stuff isn't secure, it isn't high performing, it isn't elastic, it can't scale. There's a lot of problems. And one of the things that we've seen has people been going through, you know, basically SAN replacement, moving to Stack HCI. Mm. You know, we've seen a lot of people saying, you know what, 10 years ago, SAN was the state of the art. 12 years ago, that's how you did everything. Now people are like, I don't want that complexity. I just want to manage VMs. I just want to manage servers. I just want to manage it that way. I don't want, you know, so what we're seeing a lot of Stack HCI has been people deploying these really huge solutions from a petabyte to 4 petabyte solutions and like getting rid of SANs. I'll give you one quick example, Microsoft Stores. So if you've, I don't know if we have one in Scotland or not, but no. That's a shame. I'm sorry about that. I'll have to chat with somebody. but we have Microsoft Stores around the world. And in these stores, we basically, for like 10 plus years, and the reason why I know this is because when we were actually in the process of creating the first few stores, they actually came to me and they said, hey, Jeff, we're going to use virtualization. Hyper-V is going to be in every single store. And so help us design these. And so the design we ended up using for all of our stores was a 4-node blade system connected to a SAN. And that's what all of our Microsoft stores were actually running on the back end. And it made sense at the time, you know, 10 years ago, but it's not where we want to be. I mean, number one, it's very expensive to have a blades and a complete SAN in every store. Number two, it meant we had to have someone trained at the store to manage a SAN in case something really happened. They needed to, you know, actually touch the SAN. So when we actually looked at modernizing, we actually deployed a brand new Microsoft store in London this last year. Guess what? That's a 2-node HCI system. There's no SAN in there. There's no more blades. There's no. It's HCI. And the team loves it because they're like, oh yeah, this is simple. It's much easier to manage. We can manage this with Admin Center. It's just using S2D storage. It's all software defined. It's much more flexible. And yeah, guess what? It radically lowered our costs. And so that's something we've been dropping in every store now. So there's a lot of different use cases for HCI, but that's just one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I was saying to Kenny after watching some of the recent webinars, I was just like, this is crazy. Like this is because, you know, I absolutely fell in love with Azure Stack Hub. I was like, this is the future. This is Azure services on-prem. You know, I'm constantly banging on about how virtualization is not like public cloud and there's a difference. There's a difference in terms of how you manage it, where your focus goes, etc. And then I watched this webinar on HCI and I was like, whoa, this is the coolest virtualization out there. I was like, this is insane. The fact that you can connect up to Azure, use storage up in Azure, use Azure backup, Azure site recovery. I was like, wow, this is, you know, we could come back to its true hybrid, you know? So yeah, it's very awesome. Okay, let's talk a little bit about administration, because one of the great things about Azure Stack Hub, again, was this consistency all through Azure Portal, using ARM, etc. Very consistent. We've got Azure Stack HCI using Windows Admin Center. It's got the Azure service connectors within Windows Admin Center. Now we've got Azure Arc on the horizon. So yes, let's talk a little bit about how they all currently play together and how you differentiate between them in terms of which one you should be using for each management task. Let's talk a little bit about that.
All right, so where do you want to start?
Let's start with Windows Admin Center.
Okay, so Admin Center, codenamed Project Honolulu, near and dear to my heart. So Honolulu is something I've been wanting for a very, very, very long time. Admin Center is fantastic. It really serves a number of purposes. First of all, it makes it easy to manage your server using a web browser remotely. And one quick point I always like to make is Admin Center's only been out for ballpark 2 years, ballpark. So far, it already does in many ways. It does more things than the traditional MMC ever could. There are so many things that it does better, does with better graphics, with much more elegance, that are easier. We know that it doesn't completely replace MMC yet. Keep in mind, MMC had 20 years behind it. Let me say that one more time. 20 years. I had some people on Twitter this last week saying, hey, Jeff, boy, Admin Center doesn't do everything MMC does. I'm like, yeah, it's 18 years behind. So give us a little bit of time on this. But part of it is to make sure that we can make it easy to manage. And then the second thing is to enable these hybrid scenarios. For the easy to manage, one of the beauties of Admin Center is it's so you can manage Admin Center manage Windows Server anywhere. So I'm actually here in my home office. I am managing servers that are running up in Azure IaaS. I am managing clusters that are running in the office in Microsoft. I'm doing all of this remotely. Some of these servers are physical, some of these are virtual, some of these are standalone, some of these are clustered. Some of these on the target machine is running server core. Some of them are running full desktop, even though I'm not accessing the desktop. So the important thing is Admin Center is managing every one of these scenarios. And like I said, it even is managing in Azure. So the first question I always get is, you know, around Admin Center, does this take over System Center? Does this take over Azure Portal? Or how does this relate to Arc? First, keep in mind that Admin Center manages Windows Server, period. There is nothing that manages Windows Server like Admin Center, and that's not gonna change. It's complementary to System Center. It's complementary to Azure Portal. It's complementary to Azure Arc. And so literally it works in every scenario. There is not a scenario with Windows Server where Admin Center doesn't make sense. And on top of that, then we've been enabling all of these hybrid capabilities, as you already mentioned, Azure File Sync, Azure Backup, Site Recovery, networking, and so much more. And we're gonna continue to make it that easy. And I think of Admin Center for a lot of traditional IT pros that are used to managing their stuff on premises, that are just starting to look at the cloud, we make it easy for them to connect up to the cloud. That's one of the easiest things to think about Admin Center. Then if you look at the Azure Portal does things that System Center or Admin Center will never do. Azure Portal is for managing Azure resources. It's for managing the fullness of Azure. And just to be very clear, when it comes to Admin Center and Azure Portal, we actually have a very clear philosophy. You're not going to see us like build an iframe in the Admin Center that rehosts Azure Portal controls. You know, we will create links that go from Admin Center to Azure, but we're not going to like redo functionality in Admin Center. That doesn't make sense. Azure is always going to be the source of truth for Azure. And so that's how those two kind of play. So does that make sense?
Yes, that does make sense. I like that. I like the Windows Admin Center connecting up to Azure Portal. I like that.
Yeah. And then I guess one of the other things which takes Windows Admin Center even more leaps and bounds ahead of MMC and where it ever was or ever could be is its extensibility and the ability for third parties to build in their functionality, like the Dell OpenManaged integration, for example. Being able to do all that from the one tool is pretty cool.
this is one of my very favorite things about Admin Center is when we were building the tool, you know, we were sitting down and we were looking at this and we said, first of all, this is not just a tool, it's a platform. And so extensibility was a critical part. And so making sure that our hardware partners and Dell has done a great job with their plugin into Admin Center. So now I have one console where I can manage my server roles and my VMs and stuff like that. But if I want to see the actual underlying hardware, I click on, boom, there's the Dell tool. And wow, I can actually see what's going on in firmware versions and all of those things and actually see the hardware without leaving Admin Center. Customers love that. They love that integration.
Yep.
Something has just popped into my head, and I'm not sure where this fits in, so I'm going to ask and we'll see. The Windows Azure portal. Remember?
Windows Azure Pack, yeah.
Windows Azure Pack on 2016, yeah. Yes. So I remember that, and I remember being very excited about that. Where did that go? Or is that
so the Windows Azure Pack... Windows Azure Pack is still around for 2016. What Azure Pack enabled was for people to do self-service. So yes. Basically, you could create a portal so, you know, Kenny could log in and access his VMs. I could log in and access my VMs. And Lisa, you could be the admin over all of this. And it actually is a very top request. We know that people want self-service. It is very much something we are working on. It is very much something we are looking at, and it's nothing I can talk about today.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Good. I was going to ask about multi-tenancy and self-service for Azure Stack HCI, because I'd be remiss, because there are a number of members of the community who are always up in arms about getting that, because there is no direct replacement for Azure Pack just now in Azure Stack HCI.
There is no direct replacement for Azure Pack today. The closest replacement would be to use System Center and the capabilities in System Center. But for folks that want that as a key functionality in Azure Stack HCI, trust me, keenly aware of it. Just not ready to chat about it today. Maybe I'll come back, Lisa. Maybe we'll see.
You're already coming back, Jeff. We're going to need to
okay. All right.
Get that scheduled in. Okay, so we've spoken about Windows Admin Center, and in fact, we've now also covered Azure Portal by discussing that. So let's talk about, and I suppose we should make clear to the listeners that Azure Portal. So we've spoke about it in the context of with Windows Admin Center and connecting up to, but with Hub brings Azure Portal on-prem. So it's important to call that out also.
That's a great point.
Let's then, because I think that's still something that people don't quite grasp in their head, is that with Hub, you're bringing that Azure Portal on-prem.
That's a local instantiation of the Azure portal. So I actually did the very first Azure Stack Hub demo. I was the one that actually did the very first one. And I've done many, many demos since. And it never ceases to amaze me. I'll do a Stack Hub demo and someone will raise their hand and stop me and go, no, Jeff, we wanted to see Azure Stack. You're showing me Azure. And I'm like, no, this is Azure Stack. And then the light, you actually see the light go on in there. Wait a minute, that's Azure Stack? And like, yes, it is the same hub. It's yep. Not Azure similar, it's Azure the same. Okay, it's truly Azure, it's using ARM, it's using the same portal, it's using the same management. So if you know how to use Azure, you know how to use Azure Stack Hub.
Yep, and then because the management plane is built into the Azure Stack Hub, that's what allows us to have disconnected scenarios with Azure Stack Hub as well, which is a major differentiator versus its direct competitors in the market, which don't necessarily right. have the management plane living inside the appliance. You still have to have them connected.
Yes, there are a lot of interesting scenarios where people want true Azure Cloud, but it has to live in a disconnected environment. And there's literally no way they can plug it into the internet for security, data sovereignty, or even connectivity issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. So then the one that's left to discuss is Azure Arc.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Azure Arc. So this thing is on fire. This was yet another thing. In fact, I did one of the first demos for this at the last Ignite as well. So Azure Arc is, first of all, think of it as a set of technologies, But let's start with the easiest one, which is the one I started with, which is Azure Arc for servers. So one of the things I talked about Ignite, in fact, one of my sessions had about 4,000 or 5,000 people in it. And one of the first things I said, I have two questions for you. I said, let me just see a show of hands. I said, okay, how many of you use Active Directory in your organization? And I got people kind of looking around like, what is he, crazy? And of course, 5,000 hands went up. And I said, okay, we all agree, we're all using AD. Nope, we totally get that. Okay, how many of you are using group policy to manage all of your Windows servers? And of course, everybody's hands with that, they're kind of looking at me like, okay, this makes no sense. I said, okay, so think about this. Group policy is the standard way to manage your Windows servers. And it is how people have been doing this for 20 years, bar none. It is just the way you do it. That is great if you're managing Windows Server in a domain. What happens if you're managing Windows Server that's not in a domain, or if you're managing Linux? So how do you apply governance? How do you apply policy? How do you do that to all of your servers running anywhere? So whether it's running on premises, on physical, on virtual, up in Azure, in a VM, on Hyper-V, on VMware, even in a third-party cloud like Google or Amazon, how do you manage those? And as I'm looking around at people out there in the crowd, I could see like they're starting to like just get very pale in front of me as they realize, oh yeah, that's a really hard problem. Well, that's what Azure Arc for Servers is about solving. So with Azure Arc for Servers, it allows us to manage and push down, to manage governance and policy for all of your Windows and Linux servers running anywhere and everywhere. So with Azure Arc now, I can go into Azure Arc and, for example, we have Azure Policy. And in Azure Policy, there's already hundreds, if not thousands, of policies that we've already written. Mm-hmm. That are already up there and available so people can consume them for their Azure IaaS. Well, now you can actually push those down to your VMs running on premises. So all of a sudden now, your VMs running on Stack HCI, your OS is running on Stack HCI, can have the same governance policy as the ones running in Azure. And now you've got an Azure consistency across all of these. And so what Azure Arc is about doing is enabling this uniform and consistent governance and management. Now today, the governance right now will only show you and give you a list of servers and their current status. So for example, does this server meet its governance policy? So for example, maybe you said a security difficulty or a security password length, and it will give you a list of those servers that don't meet it. Today, it will only give you that list. It doesn't actually remediate that today. Okay. But you can certainly imagine a near future where, guess what? Wow, wouldn't it be great if I could just click on a fix it button and it remediates these issues for me? And again, that applies universally to all of my servers running anywhere. So that's what Azure Arc for Servers is all about. And so imagine that type of control. We are also going to have, we also have Azure Arc for Kubernetes and Azure Arc for Data Services. So you can do that same type of governance and policy and control and management for your Kubernetes deployments and for your data services like SQL and Postgres and more.
I love being able to use Azure Policy for on-premises workloads, and I do that for my own on-premises infrastructures here. I run an Azure Stack HCI environment and an ASDK, Azure Stack Developer Kit at home for doing demos and things, and I very much use all these capabilities for managing them. One thing that I also love about Azure Arc for Servers is the ability to use Azure Tagging for my VMs on-premises, because you said that within Windows Admin Center, you can use Azure Update Management, you can use Azure Backup, things like that. What really enables automation around those is actually using the tagging. So I can use Windows Admin Center to set Azure tags through the in preview Azure Arc for Servers extension in Windows Admin Center. I can install the Azure Backup Agent, the Azure Update Management Agent. And then because I've already defined what policies apply to different tags within public Azure, I can have those update policies and backup policies automatically applied to VMs without having to do those on a VM by VM basis. So Azure Arc is really enabling some additional functionality there in Windows Admin Center for me.
I think Azure policies and Azure tags are two of the things that I have been super excited about ever since learning them. I'm like, wow, that will allow you to have so much organization. I love when things are organized, across your infrastructure. And let's not beat around the bush. everyone knows that that is a super hard job that doesn't get done brilliantly wherever your infrastructure is, right? And obviously that thing came, obviously Azure policy and tag and et cetera sort of evolved or had to exist in the public cloud because things were being done at such scale, things could be deployed so easily by so many different people, like you had to, you, that problem kind of had to be fixed, right?
Yes. In there.
But the fact yes. that you can now take that awesomeness and apply it to your infrastructure on-prem, regardless of what that infrastructure is.
Not even just on-prem, in the multi-cloud, so in any yeah. infrastructure.
Yeah. So well, and think about what we were talking about earlier. So imagine all those two node deployments.
Yeah.
Imagine someone says, I've got 50 or 100, two or three node deployments out there. Now I can manage these all from the Azure portal with your tagging. I can see them all
yeah.
with the policy. I can manage them all in a consistent way.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
And this is what brings that consistency message back to the fore again. It's not necessarily complete management consistency, but it is governance consistency at this point, and who knows going forward.
Yeah, because it's interesting what you say about the fact that so right now it just provides a list and you can see what's in policy and what's not in policy, separated by tags, etc. Beautiful. Love a view like that. But then I was thinking to myself, okay, so say something wasn't in policy, then what do I use? Where do I go and what tool do I use to remediate that? But if in the future remediation is going to become an option, that's crazy. but right now, just to answer my question actually, so that I get this clear in my head, how would you do that? So say a server is showing not in policy for some security feature, which management tool would you then go and use to sort that out?
Well, it depends on what the issue is you're looking at. Say, for example, you had a policy and you found out that a number of servers were just missing an update.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I would obviously go to the right tool I use for patching to go do that.
Okay.
If I had a server, for example, that was having a performance problem, so for example, maybe I'm having some high disk latency or I'm seeing some bad networking, you know, bottlenecks, then I would go to the appropriate tool there. If it was something like password, then yeah, I'm probably going to go to my identity tool, my AD management, or however I'm doing my identity management to do that. So today, that's how you would do that. What we would like to do is bring that closer together as part of Azure policy as well.
Okay. And we touched on, I suppose, everyone's favorite subject, their patch and update. Bringing that closer, I imagine, would be pretty awesome for a lot of people.
Yep. Everyone, I tend to agree with you.
Everyone's nodding.
I mean, patch and update is one of the awesome stories in Azure Stack Hub just now, because with a single click, you can do a full end-to-end upgrade of a huge amount of infrastructure within there, including all the VMs which run the Azure services there. Mm. And what that does is it gives people back a huge amount of time, and it gives them the time to focus higher up the stack, which is where they can bring more value to their business.
And that's a really important part about Stack HCI, which, let me take a step back. One of the key parts about Stack HCI is people do ask me all the time, hey, Jeff, can I build my own? Mm-hmm. And my answer is, yes, you can. Please don't. Please don't. Okay. Mm-hmm. Certainly you can. But we definitely recommend that people go to the Azure Stack HCI catalog, where we have these certified solutions, where we have spent the time, for example, working hand in glove with our partners at Dell, for example, to build solutions where we know have the right pieces, the right components. You know, I'll get someone who'll say, but I want to save $10 on the NIC card or $10, you know, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, you're going to pick the wrong NIC card that doesn't have RDMA, or it's going to have the wrong set of offloads, and you're going to be trying to chase down a performance problem for the next 6 months, or you could buy this Azure Stack HCI solution that's already been tested, been validated, it's run through our hardcore Stack HCI, it's ready to go, Dell's ready to support it, Dell's ready to give you a fantastic end-to-end support solution. So that's what I always tell people, and they always come back and go, yes, that was totally the right thing to do, because it just meant from the time that the HCI solution arrives, they're up and running in no time. mm-hmm. rather than spending weeks and weeks trying to do burn-in tests and stuff like that and make sure it's performing. And no, it just works. So that's a key part. And a part of that is working with Dell to make sure we have all the patches and all of the stuff, all of the testing in place to make sure that they have a high quality solution.
Yeah. And that's specifically pain that Lisa and myself went through at an MSP that we worked at in the past, where we did go through the build it yourself process, building out, well, it was 2012 R2 infrastructures at the time, but sort of cobbling it together based on the HCL and what was best practices, but it's still really hard. And having these validated solutions, which will work and we know will work and can be supported to an even higher level by the OEM, for example, is awesome.
We should say we did go through that. It was very hard. Please don't do it. But we were really lucky in that we had an awesome engineer called David Fleming. And I'm just going to give him a little shout out right now because he was an absolute superstar. I think he was like the first person ever to deploy software-defined networking
in production in 2016.
Yeah.
He's on a guarded fabric as well. Production, shielded VMs in production with the SDN there.
Yeah. But if you don't have a David, don't do that. I think this whole discussion that we've just spoken about and the value that you can get from these systems, you really don't want to be building your own, do you? You should be taking advantage of that co-engineering between the likes of Dell and Microsoft, putting that in your data center and then focusing on what you're going to do next. Where are you trying to get to, you know?
If you're a techie, then it's cool and it's fun and you want to get into the nitty gritty and the guts of it, but that's not necessarily where your time is best spent these days. And we all have limited time and you want to focus it where it's best placed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, guys, is there anything else we want to mention? I think everything we want to mention, we can't, so we can schedule. That's definitely okay. But is there anything else? Jeff, do you have any webinars or anything like that coming up that you want to give a shout out, or should we just send everyone your way on Twitter? Maybe not everyone.
They can certainly follow me on Twitter at WSV_guy. I've got a bunch of webinars out. Yeah, it's all kind of a blur right now. I'm working on a bunch right now, so.
No pressure. If there is any that you would like me to share within the show notes, just ping them to me and I can add them in. But otherwise, yeah, we can find you on Twitter and find out more about what you're doing there. I just want to say a massive thank you for coming on my wee podcast. And I do apologize for you being looked into that Threadzilla on Twitter, but I mean, to be honest, I had a blast that day and it was great fun. So yeah, thanks.
No. First of all, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity, taking me up on my opportunity to be on your wee podcast, as you say. really, I'm on Twitter and a bunch of us are there and really we love the feedback. We love to know what people are thinking, how they're using Azure Stack HCI, what they want to see in Azure Stack HCI, whether it's on-premises features, whether it's hybrid features, whether it's admin center features. We are taking all of that account and we are innovating very, very quickly. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to be on the podcast, Lisa. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.